Hello and welcome to Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew.
Actually quite good. So text in if you know what it is.
I don't know how you could justify that, but okay.
So yeah. We're more trying to find out.
Robbie says so. He's redefined a word.
Yeah, we're trying to find out, is this a household impression? So not do you obscurely know it, but is this something that everyone should know? Like, if you just brought this up in conversation, should this be something that everyone's like, oh, yeah, I know that. Mm. Of course, this is whatever it is.
Well, the reason that I sort of mentioned it the other day, I did the impression, I thought it sort of slotted in and everyone would know what I was referring to, but yeah, there were a lot of question marks. And
zero out of 10.
I reckon
marks,
a lot of people
right?
know it.
Nobody knew.
Yeah.
Yeah. It fell to silence. It was just a, what did you just do then? What was that scream?
Yeah. So,
and he takes it extremely seriously as well. You can see the crevices of painstaking detail in his face when he does it.
Yeah, Robbie prides himself on his impersonation, so this is very close to home for him.
It's very odd, because he's not that good at them.
Yeah, he's all right. Do you want to give us another one quickly?
All right is just a positive way of saying not that good, really. It's a glass half full version of not that good.
Robbie's able to go down the country of the UK, and as you go more south, he's able to change the impression for that dialect of British.
I guess that's an invitation, Robbie.
That is, yeah, I do wish. I mean, I'm not going to claim that I can do that, but I might be able to do a little bit of a Michael Caine later if we get some positive feedback from this quiz.
Okay.
The nervousness. It's like when you learn in primary school that you don't know how to tie your shoes in the correct manner. Mm. You don't know the Mickey Mouse D loop. You only just know how to make a knot.
Yeah.
And that's not the same, right?
You
like
realize
in Scouts
your whole class
when you get the rope and yeah, everybody else can do all of them and then you just go, well, it's tied up, isn't it? Yeah, but the boat will sink if you do that. It'll float away and fall off the edge of the earth.
But so we're wanting a text from Duncan specifically. If you're listening, the past couple of weeks we've been getting some wonderful correspondence from
long
your boy
time
Dunks.
Listener Dunks.
Yeah,
he always ends his texts with "from your boy Dunks," and he's mastered the art of the perfect radio text in. So
we're certain that it is. It's a crop. You know that it's going to get high yield. He is the Monsanto of texts, right? He's batting 100 for 100 right now. Purely because he ends it with... I don't even think it's the ya boy. That's a great addition. But the real drive home is shorting Duncan to Dunks.
Yeah.
That's how you get your texts read out. If your name is Duncan and you shorten it to Dunks. So everybody else is excluded from that. But we've got a theory that he might just be... an automated service system, because it's too perfect. It's the rise of AI, this is.
Yeah, it's that thing...
It's beyond human.
Yeah, you always... Whenever you're talking to an automated service, they always sign off so officially, saying, oh, thank you for your message, Tracy, or whatever it is. We think this is similar, where it's from your boy Dunks. So we don't want to hear from your boy Dunks again. We want to hear some different kind of sign-off.
I did not discuss that before. I'm panicking. Yeah. I really want to hear your boy Dunks. I thought that's what this segment was about.
This is the
Turing
test.
I mean, we're live to Sydney people. Jeez. Like, okay, I thought that the segment was that we say that he says that he just yells out Robbie's "you lose" in his house, so he can then so we can check off the list, because Dunks is just the perfect man. If he says that it's a household name, Robbie's right. And then what we've got for you, Dunks, specifically, we have music now that we play before we read out your text to inform everybody out there that your boy Dunks has texted in. So we really need you to be listening to this radio segment for any of the last 5 minutes to make any sense to anyone. Really should have checked if you are, first
off. Big risk takers. All right, but let's move on to the next one.
That'd be a really good idea.
Which is Middle Ages. What position would you hold if you were living in the Middle Ages?
Because as Tom is an ardent atheist... we are playing, just to annoy him, basically. What if you had a past life in a time of a simpler age? What position would that be, and why? Like, and what would your dream job be?
So examples are jester, King,
that kind of
thing. Those are Robbie's only examples. Discussing what are your jobs from the Middle Ages, the only occupation to you for 1,000 years of human history was king and jester.
Yeah. Well, the reason this would be annoying for me isn't because it's a, if we were in the Middle Ages and this was your past life, it's a, to Robbie and Jordan, they both believe what was our past lives in the Middle Ages. It's not a hypothetical game. This is honestly what they thought their past life was.
And we're going to prove it afterwards by having an interaction, much like nerds of today, and we're totally not nerds, right? interact with each other when they're doing like a reenactment of the Civil War, a reenactment of a fantasy world. We're just going to talk to each other in our past lives.
Okay.
So this is a real radio superstitious exclusive.
So what's your, what? Who were you, Jordan?
I reckon I was the guy that farmed geese and had an agreement with the pig farmer that they'd go through and eat all the mess of the pigs and thus fertilise it for the summer so they could grow wheat. I think I was the duck guy.
It's quite so
the
specific.
Duck goose guy.
Yeah. It's very specific. Yeah.
That's why I believe in past lives, man.
Yeah, you remember. I had a really strong affinity with geese.
And what were you, Tom?
I was the advisor to the Duke. So not like a high enough advisor to talk to kind of proper royalty, just kind of lowly royalty.
See, this is when you know that someone is just pretending that they had a past life as opposed to actually living it.
Right.
I mean, how many people, you can be as modest as you like about that, but still, you've got a brain job in an age where brain was not at all appreciated.
Yeah.
There wasn't many of them.
Yeah, well, you know, you never know. Someone had to do it.
Yeah.
To be one.
And I was...
Love your enthusiasm, Tom.
And I was a baker. I was a baker that had also had a side job as a stable hand.
So in your past life, much unlike your life now, you were highly employed.
Worked multiple jobs.
Yeah, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, that's such a dream of Robbie's.
Yeah, to just have a job, any job.
Most people would
Baker's
hate having
delight,
them.
Yeah. Being the little... upstart at the stables in the eastern suburbs with a bunch of spoilt 10-year-old girls just kicking you in the face going, get away from my horse.
Yeah. Most people would be like, oh, I hate how I have to work 5 jobs, you know, to feed the kids. But to Robbie, that sounds like heaven. 5 jobs?
Nothing's really working out. But anyway, so I'd be a baker specializing in cinnamon scrolls. I would love to bring those to the people.
They have to.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay,
is there
so
anything
you're clearly pretending about your past life as well?
No. Mm.
Now, I don't know that much about the Middle Ages, but I'm pretty sure they didn't have cinnamon. I'm pretty sure most of their food was just kill a pig, put it on yonder fire for 12 hours.
Was cinnamon an
Eastern
spice?
That's what I call spice fire.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you did live that life, Robbie.
Where did cinnamon come from?
I think it's Eastern.
Do you have any...
No, I can't get any more specific than
okay.
that. No,
fair enough. Text in if you know. I'd be interested. And the internet doesn't seem to be working at the moment. So 0409-945-945. Where did cinnamon come from?
Thank you,
Tom.
FBI.
Yeah, so also we're talking about... So, like, there's a rule that's at FBI at the station where... it's kind of a guideline for playing music. We've been getting in trouble for the last couple of weeks about the kind of music choices we've been making. And we're reading an interesting thing about ancient Greek music. They've discovered to a certainty what ancient Greek music sounded like.
Is that what they said in the article?
I think so. Robbie, you read the article.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay, so that's correct. So,
Robbie, as usual, flustered, trying to do 2 things at once, failing dismally at both.
Now, so, what we're going to do is we're going to perform live in the studio to modernise what ancient Greek music would have sounded like.
If the internet would like to work, here we go. This is what me and Monty prepared.
Really, it is a remix, sort of, right?
So, it's modernised. It's new enough to be played on the station, but it's of ancient Greek music. Probably oldest music we know of.
It's like when they play If You Steal My Sunshine, but put a DJ beat in the background, minus the DJ beat. So, really, we've just stolen a song, but we've played it now.
And
so, it is technically over the gap of 2005.
And recreated to a T.
Here it is. Nope. We are not going to be able to play that, unfortunately.
All right, well, why don't we just go to a song?
How
do we set that up? And then, all right.
I know. This is news to me.
Three setups in that introduction. How many of them worked? And we didn't even do the setup of us talking as middle-aged characters, and I don't feel like doing it anymore.
Really?
Yeah. The internet's ruined it. Let's play a song.
Did we discuss that?
Okay. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. Oh, we discussed it live.
Oh, right now. God. See, I'm trying to work.
Open your ears.
Okay, you're listening to Tom Monty Doodle and the Crocodile Crew. We don't have internet, so if you'd like to help us out, that'd be great. If anybody can hear us in the thing there, we're gonna listen.
This is a real Triple M show from 1998. Right?
Okay,
Tom Monty Doodle and the Crocodile Crew.
We are going to really pick things up now with some Joanna Newsom. It's a song called Saponikin. Saponikin, is from her album Divers, and we just think it's brilliant, don't we, guys? So
love it.
Yeah.
Let's
play. Flawless as this radio segment was.
Yes.
Okay, we'll see you soon. Enjoy this. Hey there, you've got it tuned to FBI Radio 94.5 FM. Tom Monty Doodle and the Crocodile Crew here. It's 12:17 PM in the afternoon. It's quite a temperate day, I'd say. Robbie Jordan and Tom here. That was Saponikin by Joanna Newsom from her new album Divers, and that was released, I'm quite sure, either earlier this year or at the end of 2015. Have you guys had lunch?
No, okay. We haven't.
You're asking us.
We've been with you for hours.
Correct. We've got a lot of texts coming in. Please continue them coming in. The number's 0409-945-945 to do with my impression, which I'll not do again for you.
You lose!
And we've got a lot of correct submissions here. Actually, they're all correct.
Looks like I was completely wrong, and every single person knows exactly what that impression was.
Particularly odd from you, Tom. You're quite a film buff, as accounted for by me personally. I don't know if you even consider yourself a film buff, but I do.
Well, I did know it once it was explained. I didn't realise it was so, memed now, you know?
Well, there is that meme image of...
Of him leaning on his elbow.
Are we going to tell the... I think... Are we
let's
releasing
just,
the... Yeah,
just say
we already have.
Have we?
Really, and I mean, everybody's wonka. Already guessed it.
Yeah.
Just accept it, Robbie. This segment's over.
Okay. No, I thought we were waiting for your boy... Dunks to get to contact us.
My mistake. It's not over.
But yeah, so it was Willy Wonka or Gene Wilder from the original Willy Wonka. Great acting performance, and was let down by Johnny Depp in the more recent version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
But Tim completely Burton. Brought back to where it originally stands as a filmic classic by Robbie's priceless interpretation.
Yeah,
of thank you. Gene Wilder saying "You lose" was enough for everybody to say. Specifically, that's the unmistakable impression of Gene Wilder. Why is everyone using the word unmistakable?
Very mysterious. I do not understand how... There's at least 20 texts that have come in saying that is the unmistakable voice of Gene Wilder from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or Willy Wonka.
Would it be more relevant, I guess, to say irreplaceable, seeing as Beyonce just came out with a song... and one of her most famous songs is Irreplaceable. I'm just saying, would it be more topical?
Well, I'm getting a lot of praise for this impression. You know, they're saying I think it's a perfect impression of Gene Wilder. Well done.
It wasn't so much about the quality of the impression, more so is it a household
impression?
It was impression.
To me. All right.
Well, to me, yeah. Different, you know, different causes.
Like, different strokes for different folks, but everyone had a problem with it except for the wide range audience. Loves it.
Right. And Tom is a film buff, and so I'm just wondering, what did you think of Johnny Depp's version of that?
Yeah, it was very odd, very strange film. It's a pretty weird film, both of them, aren't they?
Are we reviewing this because you saw it on Channel 11 yesterday?
Yeah, I guess we are, yeah.
This is the worst version of Margaret and David.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
watching a TV show, half drunk, coming back from a wedding.
Through ads and everything, yeah.
Yeah, the Coles ad where they're advertising ham at $11 a kilo, it's really cheap.
Yeah, really complimented Johnny Depp performance. All right, so now we're going to be talking about this. Yeah, it seems to be a new thing when it comes to parenting, which is how much fun can you have with your kids until it gets to the point where it could be considered to be abusive.
I'm not sure if it's a new thing. I mean, I think parenting has been around for quite some time. I mean, call me crazy.
Yeah, but I feel as though, I don't know, maybe it's just the internet and now I'm seeing it. But yeah, this morning I was watching a video of a guy. It's a video that's gone viral. His little daughter's in the backseat of a convertible that he owns. And the boot is one of those automatic convertibles where it's slowly shutting. And as the door's shutting, he's yelling at the girl saying, it's eating you, it's eating you. And she's screaming and crying at the camera. And he's screaming her name. He's like, oh, no, get out, get out.
Oh, if that's abuse, I don't want kids.
And it's so funny. Great. And everyone online loves it. But it sparks this debate where, well, not everyone, 50% hate it. And 50% are saying, you know, this shouldn't be allowed. Now, this little girl won't trust anyone. And she'll think it's okay to play tricks on other kids. And
50%. So, when you look at the comments, there's 100 people that have liked that, saying that,
my sentiments exactly.
Yeah.
That is the definition of BP. Not BP, the petroleum brand, bad parenting.
Yeah. So, we're kind of trying to work out, where is that line? Where is it all right to be playing a joke enough that you could film it and put it online and say, look at me having fun with my kids? And then is there a point where, you know, it's just not on? So Robbie's example before was teaching a kid to say instead of H-H. That's something that people don't do on purpose as a joke. It's something that people just accidentally do. But is that okay to do that? Is that a...
Not in my opinion. I mean, I think they're lowlifes.
Are you a sad byproduct of this? Did you say H well into your teens?
I've said H the correct way my entire life.
Thank God.
Thank Christ.
But you pity the fool who didn't.
Most definitely, yeah.
But say you taught your child to swallow their toothpaste after every time they brush their teeth.
Why are you so obsessed with this example?
Because I feel like it's a harmless example, but at the same time, it's...
It doesn't sound harmless.
Well, I don't know.
It sounds like it's probably pretty bad for your innards.
Yeah, maybe it is. So, who knows? If you know, text in.
Why don't you see, this is why I was really apprehensive about this segment, and it was originally entitled, Have You Been Abused as a Child?
No, no, yeah.
That was the original.
No.
And we brought it back, and even now, there's still moments just when Tom goes, yeah, I suppose that is kind of cruel.
Yeah.
Well, what about this one? I saw an example of a guy going into his kid's bedroom while he was having a sleepover, puts on a hockey mask, wrangles up the chainsaw and goes, like, five kids go, stops. And it, like, two of them are crying. And there's one kid there that just keeps screaming over and over again, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, is that abusive or not?
Yeah. And if it is, do you still want kids or are you on the board with me? No, I'm having a strike until that is officially legal to do. To go into your room with no intention of hurting them, but just wrangling up the chainsaw with a hockey mask.
To freak them out a little bit.
So, like, another example would probably be teaching them to shower with their clothes on or something like that.
So, yeah, exactly. You say
that
seems
more
lives.
Disturbing to me than a chainsaw and hockey mask.
It really is.
Yeah. Like a very, very long run. Running joke where when they're like 18, you reveal to them that their whole lives they were meant to be showering naked, but you've been telling them to go fully dressed. And every time then if they walk in on their friend at a sleepover who might be showering or something, and then they see they're naked, they would freak out to another level because they'd be like, why don't you have clothes on? Because there would be nothing weird about walking into your friend showering because they'd be fully dressed. I should be dressed.
Did you guys ever have any friends at school that weren't allowed to have sleepovers until they were some random age, like 16 or 18?
Yeah, and guess what his name was?
All right.
Aiden.
Conan.
That's a very good guess, Robbie. Tom's, but the actual name is Enrique. Enrique wasn't allowed to go to sleepovers or have sleepovers. Hence, he was quite the loner, and I assume he still is.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, do you know?
Yeah, I had a friend that wouldn't do it, but he'd always claim it was because he didn't want to, but it was really obvious that his parents were incredibly strict and like, just didn't want them. It was either because my house was too filthy or something, or just, yeah, something to do with the people that were staying. Like, the
so
parents never approved
excuse?
Of any of the friends around him.
Oh,
so, it was always no, I don't really want to. Like, you know, I've got soccer practice tomorrow, better not. Like, that kind of thing. But you knew he didn't. You don't play soccer, Zach.
Was he good at his sports or not really?
Yeah, he was a very fast runner. Unrelated, but...
Should we jump into that
Seems like the exact opposite of that. Oh, yep.
Okay.
Sure.
I mean, well, that's a good segue.
Lost a lot of steam.
No, I like that, but I think that the running aspect is a good segue to... Do you want to do the Kenyan thing?
Oh, we can do that.
We can. I mean, it's not this... this is... We're freestyling here, guys. I mean, you listen to some jazz radio. Tom Monidudo and the Crocodile Crew. This is what you get with us on FBR Radio 945. If you like it, text in. The number is 0409-945-945. We've got the internet.
The bomb funk MC of radio announcers. We're the Norwegian guy with the dreads.
Why don't we go back to our Greek music? Because now the internet's up.
Well, I deleted it because...
Actually, okay.
This is truly jazz. This is jazz with a hat. All right, go, Tom.
All right, so let's go on to why do we think... What do we think is priceless? All right.
Okay, so we're not going on to the...
We're not doing
field.
That. We're are
doing
you
that
kidding
towards
me?
The end,
oh, for
thanks.
God's sake. What are you... You didn't say anything there. You just...
Yeah, I introduced a new better segment.
Okay, please carry
I love
it.
How most of the show, the most of the content of this show is not communicating correctly.
Yeah, just
if
getting mad
get
at each
chart
other.
Out,
yeah.
That'd be a huge segment of it.
All right, so we were talking before about if you're on The Price is Right and someone, and you were having to guess the price, and one of the contestants answered saying, this product is priceless, and if that answer was correct, it would be one of the most annoying things you'd ever seen, I would think.
There it is. There it is. Text in, what game show is that from, eh?
So Robbie,
that's a good question.
Robbie was telling a story.
Sorry. Just give him a chance to hear it.
So Robbie was telling a story about The Hateful Eight, the most recent Tarantino film, where a precious guitar...
Would you like me to tell it?
I'm
right here. I mean, we're actually going to give you some legitimate information now on the Tom Montitude and the Crocodile Crew. So on Quentin Tarantino's most recent film, The Hateful Eight, Martin Guitars lent them a 19th century relic guitar, and Kurt Russell was not told...
Spoiler alert.
Oh, okay. So Kurt Russell smashes this guitar. They were supposed to smash a replica, but nobody told Kurt that they were supposed to do that. And so
either that or Kurt Russell just really wanted to.
Yeah, he knew full well.
Potentially, anything could have happened. Anyway, Martin now are never giving their guitars to movies ever again. And
that's the upshot. And then we asked Robbie, how much do you think that guitar was worth? And he said, oh, it's got to be priceless. As if that's a legitimate answer.
And Jordan and I both shook with rage at that response.
You can't
say priceless
what
to that
is
response.
Priceless apart from a mother's love? Nothing nothing material is priceless.
Well, it has a value.
Okay, but I thought the purpose of this segment was to name material things that we think is priceless. So what's their premise?
I don't know how it got to that, but we're all on board with this idea now. Yep. So what's your material possessions that you think are priceless?
So is there something we own ourselves or not?
Yep.
Something we own, that's priceless.
Yeah, it's a mixture of The Price is Right, Antiques Roadshow, and just general fun chat.
Yeah, so what's yours, Robbie?
Seriously?
Yes.
Oh, God, no, please go.
I've got these meditation balls that I got from a guy who I'm assuming is a Buddhist because he was a bald-headed Asian guy that had one of those robes on, but I was too young to decipher it. But he was saying that, like, this magic, this true magic to me when I was overseas. And in my head, I still assume that that's priceless. Even though I've been to Tree of Life, and I have seen it for $11.95. Not the exact ones. I think they were slightly smaller, but that means that mine surely have to be $15.95. But to me, priceless.
Thank you for that. That's good. Okay, Tom, your turn.
Okay, well...
it's really hard because everything I'm pretty willing to throw most things I have out whenever I do a clean out. But I have...
Tom was the Buddhist monk in my story. He's truly priceless.
You have this priceless... why was he giving it away to you if it was magic priceless ball thing?
Oh, my God.
Good point.
I'm shattered.
So, Tom doesn't have one. My one, I'd actually... Oh.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. We've got one here from somebody. They say, wank answer, but your own body. That's priceless.
True, I suppose. People might give away... kidneys and things and surgeries to loved ones.
But sure. I would rather say...
Or for just $20 if they're from a particularly poor country. But we get the general gist of your idea.
Yeah, true.
Great text.
I've got one. I've actually got one now, if you'd like to hear it. I've got a thing called a precious box, which includes a lot of sort of childhood memorabilia that I'd say is probably priceless. It's got things like my old...
If you don't have a job for another 2 weeks, I will offer you $25 for it, and I bet you'll sell it.
Yeah, I'll give you $25 as well. We'll go $50.
Yeah, we'll go $50 for that priceless memories box.
What do you guys think of the song King Conta by Kendrick Lamar?
He's going to do it. He's selling away all his childhood memories for $50.
Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile
Crew.
This is a
low point. I really don't think you're going to be the story of Rocky either. I really think that you're going to keep sliding from here.
Okay, this is Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew on FBI 94.5 FM. Going to have King Kunta now by Kendrick Lamar. Hi there, you've got it tuned to Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew on FBR Radio 94.5. Give us a text, the number's 0409-945-945.
Specifically about, can I just ask, we were talking about this off air, do you honestly think Kendrick Lamar is one of the greatest rappers of all time?
Yeah,
he's got to be overrated. Even Robbie's the only person in this room that actually likes Kendrick, and even he is just like... No, when Dr. Dre came out and said, man, if I was going to do a tour, it'd be the greats, Eminem, Snoop, myself, and Mr. Kendrick Lamar. No, what are you talking about? Make him just your opening act, please.
Is
the
Kendrick
guy that just warms the crowd.
Cool, but overrated, most definitely. Yeah.
Cool?
Yeah.
What is cool about that guy? How does he even get that?
Oh, he's bringing back some jazzy flourishes to, you know, he's kind of... He's pushing some sort of envelopes, I guess, but very much overrated. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
So you like him because he's putting in jazz loops. He's not really bringing in jazz. He's a fan of sax.
It's not loops. He's got, you know, people like Kamasi Washington and Thundercat, you know, coming in. I think he got Bootsy Collins on the first track. There's Flying Lotus doing some production. He's got a posse there. It's doing some cool stuff, I reckon.
Sure. I've just realised I'm extremely undereducated about this, but still, my opinion remains just crystal clear as it was before. I hate Kendrick.
Okay, and we've got somebody that agrees with you here. They say Kendrick Lamar sucks, and that is...
Thank you.
That's all I'm asking for. Yeah,
it's definitive.
Finally said it.
It is definitive.
Thanks. God, just put him in that same category as Drake and Kanye. He's there. He's not up with Dre and Snoop.
Oh, he's halfway. I mean, sure.
So do you reckon it goes?
Well, you think he's purgatory? He's not in hell. He's not in heaven. He's just walking around in that Dragon Ball Z white mist forever, going, "Hello, where's the door?"
Yeah.
So it goes Kanye, Lamar, Snoop. Why is Snoop as like the peak rapper of our time? Is
he just is? Okay. Are you going to denigrate him?
Well, do you think Snoop's above, like, Puck or someone? Doesn't everyone think Puck is the best? What do they think,
what,
Robbie?
The character from A Midsummer Night's Dream?
To Puck.
Oh, Puck. Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy. I remember him.
Who's the best? Tupac, Biggie Smalls, Lamar, Kanye.
Or Ja Rule.
Yeah, or Ja Rule.
Busta Rhymes.
Busta.
Mate, he's got some great flow.
Good pick, Robbie. We were definitely seeking someone to end that joke on that is somewhere between decent and not decent. You got it.
There is that.
Yeah. Okay, now we're going to talk about what would it be weird for you... Okay, so when people say, give me the usual, okay, they go into a sandwich shop, they go into...
A cafe,
a restaurant of some kind. They say, give me the usual. And the waiter will say, right away, sir.
Yeah, they're Jerry Seinfeld corner store.
Okay.
The only place that you should be able to ask that question in the world. However, that question becomes extremely sad if you walk into a pharmacist and say, give me the usual.
Or a bottle shop.
Because we were saying that, wouldn't the pharmacy option is very sad? And we're like, what else would be sad to say, give me the usual? And we kind of realised that every option is sad besides a cafe or just your immediate one store that you go to.
Even other stores that primarily exist to serve food. If you go into a corner store and say, give me the usual, and then the guy's just like, okay, so you want one Red Bull?
Yeah.
Sad,
how sad,
right?
Is that?
Asking for a Slurpee and saying, give me the usual, and then they say, sorry, the raspberry machine's broken, and then you falling into a fit. Sad.
Can you imagine, you're filling petrol up, and someone in front of you just says, like in the line, says, give me the usual. No matter where you are, it's a very sad thing.
I reckon probably the lowest.
Going to a zoo, give me the usual.
No, I was about to say,
wild. Single ticket then, sir. Wet n Wild, yes. Wet n Wild at the food kiosk at Wet n Wild. Give me the usual.
Who's done that?
Saying it is completely unnecessary, going onto a water slide there, say, give me the usual, and then the guy go, okay, so you want to go down the slide?
Like everyone else? Yeah, but you recognise me.
Is there anywhere else that give me the usual works?
Do you have anywhere?
There's nowhere else in the world.
Mm. Yeah, it's just, yeah. Do you have a usual place? Do you ever give me a usual? Or is that just a TV kind of Friends soap kind of...
It does happen. You could eventually say it, but every time I ever... So when I was 12, for instance, I used to go to this one Indian restaurant in a food court. So you can imagine, just the pinnacle of South Asian cuisine.
Mm.
I used to always ask for mango chicken every single week.
Mm.
Then, one week, he says, you know, there's other curries here apart from mango chicken. I go, oh, okay. And he goes, do you want to try another one? I go, no, just the mango chicken, thanks. Never came back. That was
it. That scared you off.
I reckon after someone predicts it to you, if you're the one that initiates, give me the usual, that's fine. If the person that serves you says, let me guess, bacon, egg, roll, you say, yes, thanks. That's the end of this relationship.
I think just generally saying, starting something off with give me is quite a weird way of starting.
So give me a bacon and egg roll.
Yeah, okay, so one time I went to... I was trying my hand at haggling when I was buying an acoustic guitar, and I'd heard that...
This is going well.
So I'd heard if you were quite stern and you sort of just like, give it to me for this price... And then they will. That's how you haggle. So I was thinking, and all my life I've kind of just bought it as the. I've never haggled, right? So I get to the front, I say, give it to me for 100 less than what the price was, and they're like, okay.
And they gave it
and
to
they,
you.
They did.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It works.
Oh my Lord.
A little bit of confidence. Miscounted social situations as per usual finally paid off.
Yeah. That's awesome that worked.
But then I was like, sounds oh damn rude. It! I should have said it. I sort of should have said lower. You know, you always think, oh, well, that worked. I should have gone.
Yeah,
should have gone lower.
And you also would have just been absolutely flustered with hormones of delight after that working as well.
Yeah,
and it's just that kind of feeling of any of those 1980s coked up moments where you're walking out going, yeah, I could have taken it all. But I mean, probably $100 is reasonable for you and him. I mean, everybody was happy in that situation. After that, if you walked out and you said, give it to me for just $50, I reckon you would have felt awful.
Yeah,
true.
That's not there's definitely a point in haggling, right? Like every time you go to Thailand, for instance, and you realize you're haggling over 30 cents.
Yeah.
Not a good feeling.
I know.
When you realize that.
Mm. I know. It's probably part of the psychology of like Thailand and that kind of bartering system where, yeah, they'll probably lose at bartering every now and then, but just the overall effect of someone staying for a week, that's when they get you, is that last day where you're just so sick of it and so sorry for them that you're having to even argue. It's just like you just feel awful for arguing.
Mm.
But yeah. Troubling thoughts here on FBI 94.5 on a show called Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew.
Guys,
we're having serious chats here for some reason.
I've got a very exciting thing to tell you guys about. Listen to this.
Do we have a tick?
He's here! Dunks has entered the building! This is your new theme song, mate! Ring up every Monday, you get it played, no matter how many texts.
Okay, and he's texted and he said, drug dealers, thanks from Dunks.
Yes! I don't know why he said that. I think it's
to do with the, I think it's the give me the usual thing.
Just play him.
But anyway, here we go.
Yes! Thank you very much, Dunks, for making this the show that it is. It's 90% you, mate. Your boy, Dunks.
Thanks so much, Dunks. And he texted
in. We're bringing everyone in Sydney the Space Jam theme.
On 0409 945 945.
All right, so now we're talking about This week, Cheese TV has come back, kind of. The original hosts of Cheese TV. Okay, there's the Cheese TV theme playing.
Which is... Okay. Kendrick Lamar, overrated. This, underrated.
So, everyone who is roughly, I don't know, 21 to 25, probably, all would know of Cheese TV. You woke up to it, watching Dragon Ball Z and Pokemon and the rest. Things 90s kids do, that kind of thing.
Digimon, remember that? No, because that was no one's favourite. Clearly a filler for when Pokemon was off-season.
So, who are the hosts again, Jordan? What are their names?
Jaden Ryan.
Yep.
Don't know their last names.
So, they're now in their late 30s, and they've come back on social media, and they're doing the same old tricks that they used to do, giving away Nintendo 64s and having people write in pictures, and they'll share the pictures of people writing in.
Which is great to see. A bunch of 30-year-olds now, still drawing pictures of a crappy Pikachu.
Yeah.
I've seen better ones drawn by 10-year-olds, right?
Yeah.
And there's somebody three times that guy's age just drawing a picture of their favourite Pokemon with Jaden Ryan doing the Kamehameha way from Dragon Ball Z in the background, and the only way that you could tell they're Jaden Ryan is because it says their names on their t-shirts. They're that poor.
Big writing with incorrect spelled words. Yep. And they're written
Jade,
by a 30-year-old.
Jade, of course, having some very stick figure symbol of a baseball cap. Ryan just with slightly long Robbie-esque hair. Yeah.
So, yeah, they're back. But we were thinking how, when you heard that news, so you just heard that news then, is that the most exciting thing you heard all week? As in, all of last week, include today and last week, is that the most exciting thing you heard at all? And if it is, I'm really sorry.
Because we had this, again, I don't know how Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew came into serious philosophy, but during the break when we were discussing what we're going to be talking about, in your 20s, you don't feel alive ever, really. Surely, right? I'm not the only one that feels this. It's this half-life, yeah, very attractive, athletic mutant that you are in your 20s. Right?
You don't get those feelings of winning the touch footy grand final and going for pizza with your mates.
No. Nope. Nor do you feel, if you were able to hold the King Square in handball for 20 minutes, the duration of recess, all you'd feel now is like, oh, how about that? Still got it. As opposed to, yes!
No.
Yeah!
I do have to
do a little wiggly dance where you like destroying your vertebrae a bit, so you're going like, in your voice.
I'm sorry, but I'd have to disagree slightly there. I did actually feel alive when I got those five strikes in a row
of
10-pin bowling that time, which we have actually talked about. I don't want to gloat, but I felt...
The segment's all for that segment song.
Which we're going to be playing twice more.
Yeah.
Do you have a segment? Because I do as well. I suppose this week, the one time that I did feel more alive than when I heard the Cheese TV was coming back was walking past a house that all of a sudden has a junkyard dog. So, gnashing teeth, the only thing separating me was a really thin aluminium frame door. And that's when...
And mine would be that now I'm part of a mixed netball team with 30 to 40 year old men and women, and I was playing as goal defence, and I had one of those moments where the ball's in the air and I managed to jump over the woman that I was defending and grab the ball, and I felt very alive.
Okay. Can I just say, Tom, that definitely deserves a So you can text in if you want. We're not going to play that song again. It's kind of
it's a three-time thing.
Well, you can sort of just sit there yourself and feel like, oh yeah, I actually do feel alive. I mean, just kind of think to yourself, where have you felt alive and thankful for things in your life? That's we're putting out positive energy now, because we've got some really down texts. and they've texted on 0409-945-945. One of them. I don't know. Well, I'll talk to you about it in the break. But right,
let's go to a song then. So
we will go to a song, and then we're going to go into this. This is called Diversion by Ty Segall. It's from his most recent album called Emotional Mugger. And we'll see you soon. That was your boy Ty Siegel with his song Diversion from his new album Emotional Mugger. You're listening to Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew on FBI 94.5 FM.
Snap.
We've got some truly abhorrent texts coming through on the number 0409945945, and we have discussed it in the break, and we're going to tell you what one of them is. And it goes, it says, "What the hell is this weird racist shit? These men are awful." And I just have to say to you, you greasy monkey, I can't for the life of me determine where we were racist in the past show. Like, honestly.
Yeah, there's something so bad about just using the word racist just that flippantly. Like, there's nothing we said that, because, yeah, we were thinking like, yeah, oh yeah, so we impersonated an Indian restaurant. We mentioned that Kenyans are good at marathons, which they empirically are. And what was the...
And also, yeah, it's pretty factual that Indian people run Indian restaurants, all right?
Yeah.
I don't think, just, like, what is so awful about that, whatever now, your name was?
We are engaging with the haters now. I know that's a dangerous line, but we would love you to text
no,
in.
And sort of,
okay. Well, I mean,
it's so easy to send that in, isn't it?
It is.
You know, back yourself up. Explain yourself.
Come and do a show. I mean,
yeah.
You think this is easy? Well, it clearly is.
Imagine if that person did breakfast. Anyway.
You're listening to somebody talking about really, really non-offensive things. So basically the colour beige.
And now
is
we're
that your favourite colour? If it's not, we're not putting you through, because that might be a bit too controversial.
Alright, so now we're going to talk about marathon running and why it is that the country of Kenya seemed to be so bloody good at it.
And basically the reason why we read your text out, mate, was pretty much because we needed a preamble to that. It was just too perfect. Sorry about that. Terribly sorry. You know, if won't happen races. Again after this segment.
So, I listened to a cool podcast on Radiolab, so check it out if you haven't heard of that. And they did a whole thing on this really weird phenomenon, which is that Kenyans are just so much better than anyone else at running the marathon, which is really bizarre because it's like if you compare their statistics to any other sport in the world, it's actually quite amazing. Where, for instance, the 4-minute mile is like a famous example of something which is deemed impossible. And before, there's something like only 17 people in history have ever run the 4-minute mile that are non-Kenyans. And then last year, there was like 34 of them. Where, like, new people were able to do it. Or some
they doubled it.
Yeah, like, some crazy thing where Kenyans are just far and away better at running long distances than anyone else on Earth. And it's to the point, like, you know, imagine if at cricket, like, Australians just seemed to produce the greatest cricketers, and there was just no one else that could even begin to even bowl. Like, imagine you're watching a game of cricket against any other country, and they can only bowl wides. And, like, we just can dominate. It's that kind of comparison where
I think
it just doesn't exist at any competition anymore.
It became illegal to smoke on the pitchway of cricket. That's when we really started to fall. Aussies plus smoking, great athletes.
Yeah. So yeah, the question
that we
is
indoor smoking, but yeah, no, it really seems to improve in sport.
So yeah, your question is what is the reason that Kenyans are so much better at running? And it's, like, baffling. Like, no one really knows the answer. But it turns out it all comes from a it's not Kenya, but it's a particular town, like a geographical location in Kenya. So, a really tiny town. And that's where all the runners come from, is this one little town in Kenya.
Oh, it's like in Japan where there's that one town of really decrepit old prunes. Everybody there is 130.
Yeah, it could be that. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Where you just have this, like, particularly elite at one thing. And there's several reasons why they'd be so good. One of them is that they live in such high altitudes, they, you know, have better lungs. Another one is that they run to school every day, so that they're just used to running, like running really long distances, like 10Ks there and back to run to school.
That seems like a pretty logical choice to me, that one.
There's that one.
High altitudes doesn't sound that good.
Another one is that because of their geographical cool location to the equator, and like how they, like, just their where they are from, they tend to have longer limbs because it's to do with weight distribution and heat distribution. So, for instance, like, they've done tests on this. If you have more weight in the center of your body and less weight on your feet, then you'll go a lot faster because you... Oh, a lot slower, one of the two. But if
I'm pretty sure it'd be slower because every time you ever saw E.T. run with his arms flailing in the air, his weak little spindly legs going...
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you have, like, you have heaps of weight on your ankles, you'll run slower because you've got more weight. It's like a pendulum problem, which has been tested and proven. So, like, Kenyans tend to have very, like, thin ankles and very, like, long limbs because there's, like, a larger surface area to distribute heat. So there's that. So that's kind of the scientific argument.
Oh, so E.T.'s body would be good for running.
Yeah, he should be, actually. Oh, maybe. I'm not sure. One of the two. But
well, there you go. One that's of a the plot two. Hole, isn't it?
I can't remember which one, but just like they're just.
What is this?
There's the genetic
argument.
You don't
know the answer.
I know the coolest part of the answer.
All right.
For God's sake.
The best part of it is that it's because it's not fair to say that because there are a lot of areas in the world that have similar builds to Kenyans, but for some reason this one particular town has this amazing statistic. So they think the reason is because they have this incredibly high tolerance to pain, and that's because everyone in the town goes through this really perverse kind of coming of age ritual where when they're a certain age, like 17 or 16, like once they've finished puberty, they will be circumcised post puberty in this really like very painful way where they'll cut the foreskin a tiny bit and put their penis through the foreskin and like wrap it around into a knot until it comes off.
There you go. And because we're running out of time here, we're just going to go straight to the grand finale of this show, which
so,
is that
Robbie.
And can I just say quickly, Dunks did text in with a segment idea, which we are, I'm not going to read out, but we are going actually doing that in the podcast that we're recording later. So thanks, Dunks. And now we're going to finish off this Kenyan segment.
It has to be done.
So we're going
to
test how fast is Robbie, and then if we apply pain to him, will his pain tolerance go up and make him faster?
In a segment we like to call Robbie's Lab with Donkey Kong music playing.
Okay.
So
well, I don't have time.
Robbie's
going to
Robbie's going to run to the door and back, and we're going to time him. Ready, set, go.
One. Two, three. 3 seconds.
Okay.
Okay. So it takes just you to the door. Is 3 seconds.
Yep.
Now, as part of Robbie's lab, which is going to be a weekly experiment and basically just an excuse to hurt him, we're going to nibble cribble Robbie and see how long it takes him to run.
Okay.
All right. So now Robbie's being nibble cribbled.
So everybody hears that. Listen to this, Sydney. This is what it sounds like when dubs cry.
Ow!
Yeah, okay. Sorry about that, mate.
Okay. Now you're ready to run, Robbie?
You ready?
You have to run.
Yeah, okay.
Ready? Three,
check,
two,
go,
one, go.
Run.
One, two,
three.
Yay!
2.5 seconds! It's true!
Okay.
It's true! Hurt yourself and you're a faster runner!
Thanks. This has been Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew.
Thank you very much for the special segment, Robbie's Lab, back every week.
Yeah, okay. We're now going to have a lovely track by Chairlift. It's called Cha-Ching. It's from their most recent album, Moth. Goodbye.
See you next Monday.